Fred Film Radio, International Film Festival, Rotterdam, Netherlands.
Fred Film Radio, I'm Matt Micucci from the 2020 International Film Festival, Rotterdam. Very pleased to be joined by filmmaker Anne Tran. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hi, thank you for having me.
And so you're presenting the film Moving Picture, Filmmakers in the Art of Cinematography. How would you sort of introduce the film and what it is and what it sort of talks about?
Well, it's an interview-based documentary, and we really sought to make it a celebration about the craft of filmmaking and focusing on cinematography. But we really tried to get a lot of filmmakers from all kinds of generations and backgrounds and different countries, just really talk about their passions and what inspires them, and then about the creative collaboration of filmmaking. Not so much the technical that is there, but we found that was the most interesting of what could inspire the next generation and talk to us about what keeps them going on film sets. That's how I would describe it.
Right. The film is produced by Arri, right? And it's a company that obviously has a lot to do with cinematography and the image itself. Again, like you said, the conversation gets deeper into it, and some of the stuff that that is discussed in the film is almost become spiritual and philosophical, and it's a really interesting conversation. Did you know, or were you hoping that was the answers that you would get?
Yeah, you never know what's going to come out of people, but that's what we were hoping for. Initially, yeah, because the project was funded by Arri, it was more from a technological viewpoint where the questions were more about how did the technology enable them. But we found just the more interesting and juicy things were about, them sharing their experiences and what moved them. And so that was really what I tried to get out of them, because I thought that was the most interesting.
Well, another thing that's interesting is that the people that you interview, and there's so many greats that are in this film, they really come from different backgrounds and different cultures and different parts of the world. So you really get a multicultural feel to it. I suppose that was also part of the original concept of the movie, right?
Yeah, I mean, their films are made all over the world by all kinds of different people. So that was kind of one of the amazing things that we wanted to do, was just to show the diversity and the different voices. And what really was kind of moving to come out of it was that everyone comes from a different place and they take a different path, and there's no one way to get to where they are, which we thought was just very inspiring for people and existing filmmakers and the new voices of tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a very personal journey. Although I think one of the really interesting things that is said in the movie comes from Christopher Doyle, the great Christopher Doyle, who looks like a rock star, and he says that he believes that the Chinese approach, he sees it as finding a movie, whereas in the more Western world, it's more about creating the film. And I had never really thought of that. That's a really interesting thing that not only makes you think about movies, but also art in general, and perhaps how we perceive films and art when we experience it. Do you share in the same belief? And while you were making this film, were you more finding the movie, or did you know how and what direction you were going to go?
No, it was more about finding it. We had an idea of where we thought it was going to go, but then often, too, when you're interviewing these people, sometimes they don't want to answer the questions that you want to give them, or they decide they want to talk about something else. And I think it was really for us to be open and to see where that would go. And and a lot of times people would just share a lot of stuff with them, mistakes they had made, how they overcame them, how they kept collaborations going when maybe they, they had a filmmaker breakup for a while. And in a way, the film found us, just because once we got all this footage of so many filmmakers, and then to find a through line of how to communicate that, how to edit something that would speak to people, and something that was different. Like, their Visions of Light is kind of a similar film. We wanted to do something different from that, But I think often, yeah, you go in with a plan with films, and usually a lot of times you get thrown a lot of curveballs, and it is about kind of being readjusting and being open to, yeah, to what unfolds. So.
Yeah, it's interesting because obviously, like we said, there's so many people in this documentary. I mean, I wonder, did you have in mind who you were going to get to contribute to this sort of documentary?
The film was funded by ARRI, and originally the project started off because they celebrated their 100th anniversary in 2017. And so they wanted to kind of create a lot of portraits, 100 portraits of different artists. But from the beginning, we always kind of talked about, oh, like a feature would be really good, and then to do the portraits later, you know, the individual ones. But it was decided to do 100, and it grew from there. And there were definitely people that were obvious that we knew we wanted to get. There were people that we couldn't get because filmmakers are super busy, and, you know, a lot of times they aren't available. And then, you know, along the way, we, you know, like we would, you know, talk about Korean filmmakers, who should we talk to? That would open up, you know, people would recommend people we maybe not the most obvious. But we tried to get people at different stages in careers too, yeah. And then also to focus on maybe for the more famous ones, maybe not to talk about their most famous projects that people knew, but maybe their early films and kind of show like a journey. There were a lot of people that we got that we wanted, and then which was great. It was awesome to just kind of come up with a wish list of people.
Yeah, sure, because you came up with a wish list. Like, yeah. Who was on top of that wish list? I don't know if you... Or you can say it, or you...
Sure. I mean, definitely, you know, we had, like, Roger Deakins, Ang Lee, Coppola, Scorsese was on there, and we were really chasing him for a while, but we just couldn't get him. Spike Lee was on there. We tried to get Ryan Coogler. He was making Black Panther at the time. There are so many people, yeah. And Bradford Young was another person we tried to get. He was making Solo at the time. So that was one of the hardest things, is actually nailing down and scheduling filmmakers. And logistically, you know, we had lots of crews all over the world shooting. Sometimes with filmmakers, you know, you think you know their schedule, and we'd have a bunch of interviews lined up, and then the day before, everyone would have to change their days. So,
hey, let me ask you something about the cinematography side of things. Was there a reason why you decided to film them in black and white? It's almost like it gives them a monumental feel to the image, right?
Yeah, well, we knew there would be lots of interviews all over the world with, like, different crews and so different locations, and so we wanted to kind of unify a look so that it just wasn't too chaotic looking. Then also, black and white has a certain, like, timeless classic feel, and it really helps, I think, bring out the faces, the personality, and we were really trying to... not just, you know, have a lot of people talking, you know, about their work, but really kind of bring out their personalities. Those were the priorities that we were thinking about. But we established kind of like a look and like a lighting plan. And Tom Fairman, who was the DP who kind of created that look, you know, we kind of set that so that all the different crews could kind of adhere to it. And everyone kind of had their own little touch to it. And when you're filming, you know, some of the biggest names in movies and cinematographers especially, Sometimes too you would get a DP that would be sitting down for the interview and, you know, kind of look at the lights and be like, oh, is this how we're going to light it? I don't like that. I'd like to have this instead. So, that's pretty fun.
So thank you for talking with us about this film. It's an amazing film, especially for people who are really into movies and would like to kind of hear discourses that go beyond, I suppose, the sort of linear ways in which film is discussed. I find very often that's the case. I just wanted to end it with kind of this sort of a question that is related to the film, perhaps not completely inherent to it, but one of the questions that do you remember whether there was a film that visually you realized that cinematography was a very important element in cinema, and the images of which stayed in your mind?
I mean, as a kid, I remember really being drawn to... I remember, like, E.T. was, like, a very big experience for me. But as far as, like, formally where I would recognize that there was actually camera work, I think Yeah, it was Spike Lee's work, because how he would use the dolly. Sometimes he'd have, like, the characters sitting on the dolly as it moved. And I remember thinking, like, wow, that's really cool, and how he used that to kind of convey, like, the characters and to do something a little bit more stylized and different. His work with his cinematographer, Ernest Dickerson, that's when it really stuck out to me. Yeah.
Amazing. All right, thanks very much for talking with us. It's a pleasure.
Thank you, and yeah, it's good to talk to you.
And this is Fred Film Radio, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on Fred.fm and smartphone apps.